Take your Bibles, speaking of Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. This morning I want to share with you on one Christian to another. Fellowship is the secret. And in this little book here on the New Dynamic Church, there's a chapter, and it's one of my favorites, and so I thought I'd share it with you, because it will bless you. I know it will. It's entitled, Fellowship is the Secret. So it's not a secret, I just told you. Well, let's start in Mark, like I said, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 says, And he began, this is talking about Jesus Christ, he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So they're all on the beach, and he's out in the boat. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 14. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 14. Not Mark 14. Verse 14. Jesus Christ explained this to them after they asked him about it. They said, well, his disciples, after the big meeting was over, his disciples said, what was that all about with the sower and the seed? And Jesus said, Verse 14, Jesus Christ explains to them, The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And have no root in themselves, but so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. It's quite a parable, isn't it?
Very.
There's a lot of different ways people receive God's word, you know, and some of them last a little while and then get into other things. Some of them hold on to it and bring forth fruit. Some of them get tricked out of it right off the bat and never get around to the part where they believe it. Well, you know, when we are sowing God's word as good little sowers, what do we do? Do we figure out who's what before we sow it? We say, well, let's go find some really good people that really want to learn about God. And we'll just figure out who they are ahead of time for God and save him that effort. And then we'll throw seed on them. Because, boy, they just look like the right type of person. No. Because we don't know, do we? Unless God tells us. But we sow. What people do with it after they get it is up to them, not to us, right? And I've never heard a single person by teaching them God's word or telling them how to get born again or to tell them that God loves them. Never heard anybody doing that. So I just sow. We don't look by the five senses. We ask God. Look at Acts 9 real quick. Acts chapter 9, verse 9. Talking about Saul on the road to Damascus to bring back prisoners, Christians, and throw them in the hoosegow. And it says here in verse 9, after he had a talk with the Lord himself, and he's blind, the Lord appears in a vision to a certain disciple named Ananias. And we'll pick it up right there in verse 9. And he was 3 days, talking about Saul, without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him he said, unto him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Okay, like I said, sometimes God will tell you who to speak the word to, right? Couldn't get much more specific than this. Told him what the guy's name was, that he had seen a vision, what house he was in, what to say when he got there. Verse 13, Ananias said, just one little problem, Lord. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Wait a minute, Lord. Not him. I think you might have made a mistake here. Because by the five senses, if anybody wasn't going to hear it, it was Saul. Saul was in the business of putting people on a chopping block for speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, I heard many of this man, how much evil he's done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. How about that for a transformation? Quite a day, huh? Quite a period of time there. Quite a conversion. Look at Luke. Go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. interesting congregation. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together all of his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more over than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Somebody should tell the 99 that everybody needs repentance. But there's joy in heaven every time somebody, one of God's people, turns around and says, oh yeah, hey God, thank you, I love you. I want to do it your way. So every son of God, every last one of them, just one means a lot to God. Every son of God is special and important and loved by God. He wants all of them to be in the category that we read in the first parable of being the fruitful ones, the ones who receive the word with joy, and they let it settle in and they grow in it, and then they bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Every one of them God wants that for. Some do, some don't. But you know what? It ain't God that's the problem. It's not. It ain't God that's the problem that somebody hears the word and decides they don't want to believe it. Or they hear the word and they want to believe for a little while and then they don't want to believe it anymore. Or they get tricked out of it somewhere along the way and say, oh, forget, I quit. It's not God's fault. God doesn't want that for any of them. God wants them all to be fruitful. But it's not God's fault when it doesn't happen. That's where we get into this. Fellowship being the secret. Okay? I'm going to have you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you're born again of God's Spirit, God does a wonderful thing in you and for you. It's already been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And I'm going to get there too, sooner or later. It's India paper. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, for he, God, made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that wonderful? I was called a lot of things in my life, but the righteousness of God wasn't one of them. But God put it in his word, in print, right there. He said, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'll read a couple of things out of here in this book. It says, the principal key in a successful Christian life is fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Christians manifest a more abundant life in direct proportion to the fellowship they keep with him. But before a person can have fellowship, we must have sonship. We can't have fellowship with the Father until we become his sons. Sonship makes us righteous before God and starts us out in perfect fellowship with our Father. Sustained fellowship depends upon the renewing of our minds according to his word. What happens when a person becomes a child of God and is born into the family of God? At the time of rebirth, the believer is made absolutely and completely righteous. As righteous as Jesus Christ himself. Our righteousness is the righteousness of God. This is given to us by the Father himself. That's where he says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It's just too good to be true, isn't it? It's so good it is true. Thank you, Owen. That's a better way to put it. We need to convince ourselves that we have this kind of righteousness that God gave us when we got born again, if we're going to have any kind of a fruitful life, if we're going to have fellowship with our Heavenly Father without sense of shortcoming and thinking on our own faults and shortcomings. Did I say shortcomings?
Yes.
I got a couple. But doesn't have anything to do with my righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 8. Owen shared last week on a lot of Ephesians and how God has placed us in the body as it pleased him. And I was so blessed with that. I think about how every believer really needs to understand their righteousness. And to do that, you really need to understand the book of Romans. It's laid out in the book of Romans what God did legally for every single believer who would make Jesus Christ his Lord and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead. That righteousness that we just read about is spelled out in great detail in the book of Romans. And to understand your righteousness is a real key to having fellowship, having good fellowship with the Heavenly Father. You need to know your standing with him. You need to know that he thinks you are right, you have the righteousness he gave you. When he looks at you, he sees his son. You know, he doesn't see failure. He sees what he made you, which is tremendous, tremendous. You have the righteousness of God through the work of Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." How much?
None.
So if there's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, where would the condemnation come from? Somewhere else. Let's just put it that way. If we want to believe God, let's believe God, and then we won't have condemnation. If we want to believe in that what the world says or what somebody else says about us, we can have condemnation. I would rather not. It's bad for you. It erodes your confidence. We'll see that in a little while. It erodes your confidence with your Heavenly Father. You want to have fellowship if you know you're in trouble with Dad all the time, and Dad's PO'd because you did this, that, and the other that he told you not to do? Well, that's not a fellowship. That's not a sweet fellowship. That's what we call a broken fellowship, which is also not God's fault. It's our fault. We break fellowship, okay? It's called club. It's called being in the club. We're all fellowship breakers. We all do it. It's called sin. It's called not doing what God says, not believing what God says, putting something above God, doing something in spite of what God says. All those lumped in there are called sin, and they break your fellowship with God. God wants us to be receiving from him. He wants us to be fruitful in our walk. He wants us to have what he gave us, to think that way and to walk that way. That's called the renewed mind. Putting God's word on in your mind and believing what it says about you first, and then what to do with your life after that. Look at John 10:10. You guys probably know this one by heart, I hope. But if not, let's cover it. It says in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Well, a question in my mind here is, why would anybody pick to hang out with the thief and get stole, killed, and destroyed when you could do things God's way and do it the Lord Jesus Christ's way, that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You know, it doesn't say, nay, these things never happen to believers. Those things never happen to believers. They never have to, no. Sometimes bad things happen to believers, you know, and it does, maybe it's not the believer's fault at all, maybe it's not God's fault at all, it's always never God's fault. But we have an adversary, we live in his kingdom here right now, or his world, and he's got a certain amount of strings to pull, and he causes problems for us. If we walk in fellowship with our Heavenly Father and we got our heads on right, we can avoid them. But it says here, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You can't separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus my Lord. You can't. None of that stuff can separate me from the love of God. I'm his son. He loves me. He made me righteous. He's got great plans for me. He's going to bring me to heaven. And I won't be here that Sunday. Isn't that terrific to see that? You know, all this stuff, God, we could be more than conquerors in these situations through him that loved us. More than conquerors. We can have life more than abundantly. We can be more than conquerors in these situations. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Those fruit of the Spirit are great qualities to have in your life. God's given you the Holy Spirit. He's made you his son. You can bear this fruit in your life, and it's a sign that your fellowship is good. You are manifesting the Spirit, and your fellowship is good with God. Who doesn't want love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Who doesn't want those things in their life? That's a pretty good life. I mean, so when the things from Romans 8, you know, the nakedness, the peril, the sword, all that kind of stuff is going on around you, sometimes you need a little bit of the fruit of patience, believing. And you pray and you believe and you talk to Father about it and you remind yourself of your standing with him again and you say, okay, God, take care of me like you always do. And he will. 1 John chapter 3. So fellowship with your Heavenly Father is important. And like I said, your broken fellowship or condemnation will bring condemnation. It will bring hesitation to go to God. It will talk you out of God's word if you dwell on it long enough. You're condemning yourself and your doubt. 1 John 3, verse 21 says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we what? Confidence toward God." 1 John 3:21. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he hath commanded us. How about that? If our heart condemn us not, that's where you want to be. That's called being in fellowship. My heart doesn't condemn me when I'm thinking God's way about me. When I read God's word and I agree with him about who I am, my heart doesn't condemn me. And when I pray, I receive answers to my prayers. If I'm condemning myself while I'm talking to God, I'm thinking, well, he probably ain't going to give me this. But that is not the way to approach God. God has made once a payment for my sins, his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at John 11. Did Jesus Christ dwell on... Well, he didn't have to dwell on his shortcomings. Yeah, so he wasn't sin conscious. What'd that do for him? He had a pretty abundant life, didn't he? He saw signs, miracles, and wonders. He walked by the Spirit. He had fellowship with his Father every day. No broken fellowship. John 11, verse 41. This is when Lazarus died. His friend Lazarus, he loved, and Lazarus died. And it says in verse 41 of John 11, "And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always." What? He was pretty confident that God was listening to him when he prayed, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. It says, I knew thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. When Jesus Christ asked God to get Lazarus up, he knew God would hear him. He knew God was listening. He knew God would do what he asked him to do. He didn't have a crisis of confidence. He wasn't condemning himself. We need to walk with a confidence toward our Father like that, where we know who we are in Christ. We don't look at our flesh. We look at what God did for us. We look at our sonship rights. We look at the things, like I said, in the book of Romans that explain to us what God's given us. You know, we're sanctified. We're redeemed. We're set apart. We're God's kids. He's made us his own. 1 John again. Our fellowship is the secret. We have to stay in fellowship with our Heavenly Father, and then we will be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants to bless us. He wants us to have an abundant life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's possible to walk in darkness and say, oh, yeah, I'm God's kid. We're tight, me and the Father. We say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. How much?
All sin.
Except that one little one, right? No. Okay, I'll teach you what to do here, and you got to get really good at this part. For if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. None of us are perfect. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not talking about the new birth. This is talking about broken fellowship. The new birth is a one-time deal. When you get born again, you're a son of God. God puts his Holy Spirit in you. And you are a son of God. You are righteous. You're redeemed. You're sanctified. You're all those good things in the book of Romans and more. God, you're heaven bound, and all hell can't stop you. Okay? That is a one-time deal, and it's finished. You're going to be God's son no matter what happens after that. Because it wasn't your doing to begin with. Okay? It was by grace. The great grace of God, and because he loves you. But your fellowship now is what this is talking about. If we confess our sins, our broken fellowship, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, because they're paid for too, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we haven't sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us. So don't say it. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation, or the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is what? He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. How did Jesus Christ walk? We already just read about that, didn't we? He was confident in his relationship with his Heavenly Father. When he talked, he knew God was listening. When he spoke for God, he knew God would back it up. We can have that kind of fellowship with our Heavenly Father, that we know when we speak his word, he backs it up. When we sow his word, he works with the people that we sow it to. He works in their hearts. When they believe it, he starts working with them. And whether it's 30, 60, or 100-fold, God cares about every single person. That one person He loves every one of them. He loves. And when you got born again, there was great joy in heaven. It was a great big old party. I hope they're partying up there for a whole lot of people today. Because when somebody decides to believe God's word, it's a big deal to God. And it's a big deal in heaven. And terrific, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll finish reading something in here. It says, we must maintain fellowship if we want the power of God manifested in our day-by-day living. Do you want to see the power of God in your day-by-day living? Well, we have to maintain fellowship if we want to see that. The more abundant life, our deliverance from the power of Satan in this world depends upon keeping the established fellowship with God. To the extent that the Word richly dwells in us, we have fellowship with God. To the extent that we believe and act according to God's Word, our lives will be full, rich, and fruitful because our fellowship with God is strong. We then have confidence toward God. When we know and live His word, we are doing His will. Isn't that terrific? Well, God, thanks for this morning. Thank you for the time in your word. And thank you, Father, for being our loving Heavenly Father. And that you care about us. You want us to be fruitful. You want our lives to be abundant, more than abundant. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to pay for it all. And that, Father, we can look to you every day and call you our loving Heavenly Father and have great trust in our hearts, great confidence toward you. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful word that shows this to us. Thank you, God, for blessing each person here, Father, each soul, Father. Work in their lives and bless them mightily. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's do another one. Number 58 in your songbook is Heavenly Sunlight.
Or sunshine.
Heavenly Sunlight, it says. What's yours say?
Heavenly Sunlight. We shine as lights.
We do shine as lights. Yes, ma'am, you certainly do. Heavenly Sunlight, number 58.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountain, through the deep vale, our God has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing God's praises, Christ Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Father and God. Our God is light, in Him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to His side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing God's praises, Christ Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing God's praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing God's praises, Christ Jesus is mine.
well. Another Sunday morning with you. Very blessed. Thanks for letting me share with you God's Word.
Thank you.
Well, let's say goodbye to our folks that joined us online. We love you guys and thank you for being with us this morning.
Like I say, anytime you're in Charlottesville, come on by. I got an extra bed for you.
All right.
Love you so much.
God
bless
everyone. God bless. Thanks for coming. See you later. Have a great week.
You're the best.
Love those guys. Very nice. Well, I should have a word of prayer and we'll receive abundant sharing for
you guys a chance to give. Get blessed.
Father, thank you for the giving and the receiving of your people and bless them, Father, mightily as they trust you. And one more thing. And Father, thank you for how you are our supply, our sufficiency in every situation, Father. Thank you this morning as we receive the abundant sharing for your blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.